It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's almost the end of July, July 27th and 28th. We certainly have gotten a hot patch of weather. Big shout out to my guests last weekend, retired police officer from the state troopers, Russ Conte, Chief Justice, former Supreme Court Chief Justice John Broderick, and John Stevens were there to talk about the Halea Safety Symposium on Behavioral Health, which is coming up in August. It's all about mental health awareness, and I just want a big shout out to those three esteemed gentlemen. I felt honored just to even be in the studio with them. For my running friends, thanks for turning out for the Lutie Road Race. And if you're listening to this, there's still time, perhaps, to do the Woodchuck Classic, which is held as well on July 27th, as you're listening to this show. But this weekend, with me is Mike Culver, who is the executive director of the Wright Museum of World War II, and we, of course, have had Mike on the show before. And let's, Mike, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a busy guy.
Oh, thanks, Sam. I always enjoy coming and visiting with you.
And of course, we're in the spirit of transparency. You know, we Northeast Delta Dental is a sponsor of the exhibits and some of the exhibits and programs at the museum. But let's start off with, because I'm always amazed, after I have you on the show, I get myself several calls. People did, you know, I thought the Wright Museum was like the Wright Brothers.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And things like that. So your website is WrightMuseum.org. But tell us what the museum is all about, then we'll get into the 25-year anniversary.
Sure, and thanks again to Northeast Dental, Delta Dental, for sponsoring some exhibitions that we've had before. And I'd just like to mention that after we talk about the museum in general. The museum was started in 1994, so this is our 25th anniversary. But the museum started out the brainchild of David Wright, and he was interested. His parents were of that generation, the greatest generation. He was a Marine and loved to talk about those things that his parents and his parents' family and friends talked about when they discussed the war here on the home front. And that was his big interest. As a matter of fact, he was going to call the Museum of American Enterprise, because he was interested mostly in what happened on the home front to produce the kind of equipment and merchandise and products that helped win the war. So this museum is really, it's the home front is the focus, and that's what makes us unique among World War II museums. And the mission statement and the vision statement are pretty simple. It's to make people aware of the profound and the enduring impact of World War II on American society, and to understand and appreciate the contributions and the sacrifices made by that World War II generation.
Now, we're currently in the 75th anniversary of D-Day, as well as the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, which was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
That is a good one, yeah.
That line, "We'll run them out of gas," whatever, I think is how they ultimately defeated the Germans. And the Battle of the Bulge, of course, when the Germans were making their sort of, they were already losing the war, of course, but they were making this sort of a final re-push to, and they'd started to scare us again. But in any event, so tell us about, it just recently occurred, the D-Day Symposium on July 23rd, and I know you had two best-selling World War II authors and a 95-year-old D-Day veteran. I'm assuming getting veterans from D-Day are getting harder to find.
It's getting harder and harder. You know, when I first started at the museum 6 years ago, we were losing about 550 veterans a day, and now we're losing probably 1,500. Because even young men who went in at 17 years old are in their 90s now. So it is difficult to have those guys come in and talk. But we were so lucky to have him for for this July 23rd event. That was our first foray into symposiums, and Two International Group from Portsmouth was our sponsor for that, and we're so grateful to them. But we hope that what will happen is this will become an annual or a biannual thing, and we'll do something about a symposium about some particular aspect of World War II. And as you said, because it was the 75th anniversary of D-Day, that's why we decided to do that. And we've got two wonderful authors that have come and talked to us before, and they've become sort of friends of the museum. Alex Kershaw, who wrote The Bedford Boys and his new book, which is called First Wave, and Pat O'Donnell, who wrote The Dog Company. Those are the boys of Pointe du Hoc. Those are those Rangers that you always see in the movies that climb up the cliffs at D-Day. And they came in and talked and very knowledgeable, and people were so happy to have a chance to talk to somebody of that expertise. And then to top it off, we had a special guest who was Marvin Gilmore, who served on an anti-aircraft unit that provided cover for the American soldiers that landed at Utah and Omaha Beach on D-Day. And so it was a real treat to have him there. And, of course, as we were just talking about, you don't get a chance to talk to those guys much anymore.
Great. Very, very moving. Let's take a step back. Where is the Wright Museum located? Can I be a member? What are the office hours, during the year? We know the website is Wright Museum, Wright with a W, Wright Museum, all one word, .org. But tell us, can I become a member? What are the benefits of membership, your office hours, et cetera?
Sure. Be glad to do that. We're open. We're a seasonal museum. We're open from May 1st through October 31st. And we're located at 77 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. Very easy to find. Wolfboro's not that big, so you won't have much problem. And we have some signs up as you enter the town. The admission for adults is $10, seniors 60 and above, and veterans are $8, $6 for students that are 5 to 17, and children 4 and under are admitted free. And if you want to become a member, we'd love to have you do that. And there are about 5 or 6 different categories, and you can go again on WrightMuseum.org, and it'll list all of the benefits and all of the and the cost of becoming a member. Some of the benefits are you get in free to the museum. You'll get discounted admission to our Tuesday evening programs, which have become so popular. Our education program are on Tuesday evenings. And some other benefits. So if you'd like to become a member, we'd love to have you as a member. We've doubled our membership in about the last 6 years. And we just, we do a lot of advertising, but I think most museums find that if you look at studies that say, how did you hear about me, it's usually word of mouth. So the more people we can get in, the more people we can have as members, the more people will find out about us. And I always tell people, if I get you in the front door once, you're going to come back again.
I will attest to that. Now, you had an exhibit called Righting a Wrong. I know it's over, and Northeast Delta Dental helped sponsor it. But yeah. Tell us what that was about. And I think you had over 6,000 people actually saw it.
We did. That was such a treat for us. It's not easy to host a Smithsonian Institution show. And so when I saw this exhibition about, it's called Righting a Wrong, Japanese Americans in World War II, and it was about the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. And it was just one of those relevant exhibitions that people needed to see. And we talk about so many positive things at our museum that happened during World War II, but, we also need to talk about some of the more egregious things that happened, and that internment was one of those things. So I was so happy to be able to host that for our audience, but we found that we pulled in a lot more people who came from all over the state to see it because it was such an important and relevant exhibition. And for us to host a Smithsonian show is pretty special.
Great. And then, as we just talked about, on July 23rd, you held the D-Day Symposium. Tell us about what this is, the Esquire magazine, the World War II years.
I think people, if they see that, are not going to really understand why you're having an exhibition about a magazine. And it really is pretty special. The World War II years, of course, are years in which the American people were probably united more than ever before. And it's reflected in almost every aspect of American life. And this is a great example of that. This exhibition is sponsored by John and Evelyn Frank, and it's on from July the 14th until September the 8th. Esquire was first published in 1933. It was a men's trade magazine sold through haberdashery. Now, there's a word you don't hear very often anymore, haberdashery.
That's a good word.
And, yeah, it is. And then it became more of a general public, more general public kind of magazine. And by the time World War II was around, it really was one of those magazines that you read. If you wanted, it was about the sophisticated American. Life, Post, Saturday Evening Post, Collier's Magazine were all 10 cents at that time. Esquire Magazine was 50 cents. I mean, that was five times what other magazines were selling for. That today, that would be equivalent of $9.45. So this was a magazine that was aimed at a certain kind of population, and it was about sophistication. It talked about men's fashions, and then it became women's fashions, and it talked about celebrities, and it had the greatest writers of the period, Hemingway and Fitzgerald, and later on a lot of other the new wave writers of the period. And so it was a magazine that really had a very, very solid subscription run, and then bought in magazine racks and things also, but a very, very, very dedicated audience. Some of you, if you remember, I'm of the age where I can still remember the old Playboy magazine. And Playboy magazine, Hugh Hefner, the guy that started Playboy, worked for Esquire in his younger days. So when he started Playboy, he brought a lot of that kind of material along to Playboy, you know, the jazz quarterlies and talking about literature and doing interviews with important people like Jimmy Carter and people like that. So Esquire was really way ahead of its time and became a very, very popular magazine. The thing that's so interesting about it is that it reflected all of American culture at that time. And one of my favorite things that we have on the wall framed is a Chris Craft boat advertisement. Chris Craft made wonderful boats. And in this boat, in this ad, they have this beautiful picture of this speeding boat on the water, and the sky is blue, and it just looks gorgeous. And it says, basically it says, "See this boat? You can't buy it right now, because we're working to win the war. So we're working on building tanks and jeeps and things like that. But after the war, you'll be able to get this boat. So save your war bonds and it'll make it a reality." So there's a great example of every business in the United States saying to people, you know, we can't do things right now. We're all cutting back. We're all rationing. We're all in this together. But after the war, we know we're all going to have a better life.
That's quite instructive. We all sort of, it takes a village, and we're all together, and then just, but wait for post-war, and we'll
exactly.
So that exhibit, the Esquire magazine exhibit, runs from July 14th through September 8th. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm here this weekend, July 27th and 28th, with Mike Culver, who's the executive director of the Wright Museum of World War II. And the website is wrightmuseum.org. So, Mike, let's talk again about where it's located and the mission statement. So people don't think that we're talking about there's nothing wrong with the Wright brothers, but we're not talking about planes here. So let's get that basic information and also how to become a member.
That's great, Tom. I had to laugh because if you type in Wright Museum, there is a Charles Wright Museum about an artist and, of course, the Wright brothers. So be careful. It's wrightmuseum.org, and it's in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. And, you know, a lot of people will remember this museum because it has a Stuart tank coming out of the front of the building, breaking through the front of the building. And it's so interesting because we find it, I find it both a blessing and a curse. And we've talked about this before. some people will see this tank bursting through the front of the museum and they'll say, oh my gosh, a war museum, let's go see that. And maybe the other person in the car with them will say, well, I'm not really interested in the war and tanks and things, so I'd rather not. But once you get in the museum, you will understand, as I said before, David Wright built this to focus on the home front. And while the tank pulls you in, more than half of the museum, I mean, we have over 14,000 items in the collection, and we have 23 operational vehicles from World War II, including a Pershing, a Sherman, and a Stuart tank. And we have weapons and we have uniforms. But of all of those things, I would say 80% what we have is home front kind of material. So he really wanted people to understand about the contributions and the sacrifices of those people that Tom Brokaw, of course, called the Greatest Generation, and how that Greatest Generation and what occurred during World War II here in America really shaped America for all of these years right into the present.
Yeah, Tom Brokaw does a nice job describing that. And the website is WrightMuseum.org. Now, Mike, you have a long history in museums and in this field, so what struck you about becoming the executive director for the Wright Museum?
You know, that's interesting, Tom, because I've been in my career has been mostly in museum work. I taught high school and I also taught college, and got involved in two art museums. That's my background. I'm an art historian and I'm also a painter and a photographer. But I started with those two museums, the Algonquin Museum of American Art in Algonquin, Maine, and then I was at the Naples Museum in Naples, Florida. And when I saw this this museum looking for somebody, I really wasn't sure that I was right to apply. But some people who knew my work said, "Why don't you take a look at it?" And I figured, why would they want an art person in a history museum? Although I love history, two of my favorite periods of history were World War II and the Civil War. I always think that the Civil War broke us apart as a nation and the World War II sort of healed us, brought us back together. So it wasn't that I didn't know about World War II, but it wasn't the thing that people knew me about, knew about me being connected with it. So when I came and saw the museum, I did just as everybody else does when they come in. I fell in love with the place. I fell in love with their mission, and I think it's a worthy mission. I think to be able to educate the next generations. I mean, we've been here for 25 years. Hopefully, we'll be here for another 50. And if we can keep educating younger people, younger generations, about how important a seminal period, actually, World War II was in American history, I think we're doing our job and doing a job that's worthy of accomplishing.
Well, you're doing a great job. You had mentioned earlier that righting a wrong, Japanese Americans in World War II, that you had 6,000 people see. And I also want to, I know we were a partial sponsor, Northeast El Dente. I also want to put a big shout out to Paul Matrone and Michelle Colgan, who the Matrone family also were sponsors as well. And they're great people. And we talked about the D-Day symposium as well as, and then the ongoing Esquire magazine special exhibit. Tell us about the Last Good War, Faces and Voices of World War II exhibit.
Yeah, that's going to start September the 15th and will last until the end of our season on October the 31st. And, of course, there are no good wars. We all know that. But this World War II often had the reputation of being the last good war, a war that was pretty clean-cut about why we were there, what we were trying to do. And so this is called The Last Good War, Faces and Voices of World War II. And it's sponsored by the Weirs Times and Taylor Community. About 5 years ago, a young photographer by the name of Tom Sanders decided that he was going to travel the country and photograph and interview hundreds of World War II veterans. And the more he shot and the more he listened, the more captivated he became by their memories of the war. And so we have this show, we have his wonderful large format photographs of these men and women of the Greatest Generation with wall labels that talk, that give their viewpoint, their perspective of the war and what happened to them during the war and how they reacted to World War II. It's a wonderful exhibition. If you have anybody who is still around from that period or the next generation, what it was called, the baby boom, I guess, I think they especially would love it. But the other thing is that younger people will see these photographs of these 80, 90-year-old people and realize that those Americans during World War II were just like their grandparents and their great-grandparents. And I think it makes it become more alive for younger people. They begin to understand that these were just normal people and that they were people who were extraordinary under extraordinary circumstances.
And many of them, they're always, you know, very reticent about talking too much about World War II and all the great things they did. I know that when I've talked to veterans and I try to bring out some of their great feats, they're very reticent to, this isn't the right word, but, you know, brag about it, or they're just very, very, very quiet about it. So this is the 25th anniversary of the Wright Museum. So obviously you're doing some great stuff. We mentioned the Righting the Wrong exhibit, the D-Day Symposium, the Esquire magazine. And you're doing something fun in addition to the Esquire magazine and the Last Good War exhibit. On August is coming right up. We'll have your first ever Write at Night. So tell us about what that's all about.
Well, this was a lot of fun, especially for the staff who did a lot of in-depth study on this. This is going to happen on August the 6th. It's going to be called Write at Night, and we're going to be open from 5 to 8 p.m. And there's going to be beer and mead tastings. If you come in, these are by local breweries. We're going to have live music by George Barber, and we're going to have tours of the museum, and that'll be the Last Good War show. You have to be 21 or older to get in. It's $20 for non-members and $10 for museum members, and you'll get four tastings from the local breweries. And if you want additional drinks after that, you can buy additional drinks for $5. But the staff really love this. They love to go out and do their research on this beer tasting. So
that's quite
funny. We had a lot of fun with that.
Well, the main thing is you're getting people, and maybe a younger crowd too, you know, out to the museum. It's all about awareness. So the website again is writemuseumalloneword.org. Give us, Mike, the location again.
Sure, 77 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire.
Now, if you sum up, you've been there a few years. I think more and more because of this radio show and all of you, the great efforts, and obviously the 25-year anniversary, more and more people are getting to understand what the Wright Museum, you know, is all about. And I salute you on the quarter century anniversary and all the great things that you've put on in response to that. And thank you for allowing Delta Dental to be a part of that. But as you sum things up, your experience with the Wright Museum, why should someone go there, and what do you have planned for the future?
Well, thanks, Tom, and we're so appreciative of businesses and foundations like the Montrone Foundation and Weir's Times and Northeast Dental. We can't do this kind of thing. We're a small museum, but we're getting bigger. When I came 6 years ago, we had less than 12,000 people visit us, and last year we had 19,000, and I think we may even make 20 this year. And as we were talking about a while ago, the more people who visit the museum, the more they're going to tell other people about the museum. We're no longer just a small Wolfboro museum. We really are a regional, if not a national, museum, and that's happened because of people and businesses like Northeast Dental. Others who've allowed us to be able to bring wonderful shows in and good speakers. We have a Tuesday evening program series that runs all summer long, and those education programs. As a matter of fact, the one we've got tomorrow night, or the one we had the last time we had, was on George Patton. And that was sold out.
I was going to say that must be a big, big seller. And it's great. I mean, that Tuesday night speaker series, I've heard a lot of people go to that. So what is, if I just show up, what's the cost? Or?
Sure. It's if you're not a member, it's $8. And if you're a member, it's $3. And if you'll go online at WrightMuseum.org, you'll see the schedule and you'll see all of the different programs that are that are on, and you'll be able to pick and choose the ones that you'd like to come and visit us. We open at 7, and you can look around the museum before the, we open at 6, I'm sorry, before the program starts at 7, so you can kill two birds with one stone. If you want to spend an hour looking around the museum and then go to the program, you can do that, and we'd love to have you. We do sell out quite a bit because we have one room that holds 100 people. It's our seminar room. So if you're going to come, if you see one, please call and reserve a seat so you're not disappointed when you get there.
The website is wrightmuseum.org. And by the way, Mike, I also like the fact that you've gotten school children involved. That was when I was chair of the State Board of Education.
Yeah.
Real life learning. This is what it's about. This is how kids actually will enjoy history. Mike Culver, Executive Director of the Wright Museum, thank you for joining me this weekend, July 27th and 28th.
Tom, thank you as always.
And congratulations on your 25 years and all the upcoming exhibits, including the Right at Night on August 6th and the Last Good War and the Esquire magazine. And thank you for doing the D-Day symposium as well as Righting the Wrong.